I just watched the last World Cup game today. I didn't see that much. I think this is the only game I saw. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, this is today, Tunisia and England. Tunisia had a draw. That's a point. And they butchered it alive in injury time, as they call it. 91, 92 minutes in. Harry Kane is only about one of the best scorers in all of England's Premier League, was completely unguarded, unchecked, unopposed, whatever the fuck you want to call it, wide open on a corner kick, and he just headed it in. I mean, nobody was within fucking 5 feet of the guy. But, you know, who was thinking that Tunisia's going to beat England? They almost had a draw, though, to go along with, like, you know, Mexico beat Germany. So this is a World Cup that's kind of interesting. Somebody posted a piece of video of their grandmother in Mexico blessing each one of the Mexican players as she saw them on TV. Somebody said that the girl that posted it said, I'm convinced Mexico won because of my grandmother. But anyway, so that was a huge win. And then Switzerland got a call. They got a great call against Brazil. They drew against Brazil they drawed Brazil. Brazil got fucked, though, because Switzerland clearly fouled, I don't know the guy's name, he's the best player on the Brazil squad, one of the best in the world. And it was a corner kick. And he was, the Brazilian player was on defense, the Swiss player was on offense, and the Swiss player just grabbed this guy and just pushed off, as we would say in American football, which is blatantly illegal. It's illegal, but they don't call it unless it's really blatant. Let me put it that way. They don't call it unless it's, that, from what I gather. And especially, but they will call it if it's against one of the top players. In other words, if you're trying to neutralize a player by breaking the rules, they won't let you do it. I mean, the closest I can come to explaining that is in professional football, you often hear them say, the referee, the officials are going to let them play the game. Meaning a lot of ticky-tack chicken shit stuff they won't call, but depends on what you think is ticky-tack, right? I don't know. But anyway, they got they 1-1 tie in that game. So there's been a couple of, you know, kooky, kinky, wacky things. You know. I think it's Vernon in Moscow. Vernon Dozier, how you doing, Vernon?
This is great, Phil. Phil, I'm good. Vernon Dozier here in Moscow. Vernon Dozier here in Volgograd. This is the what they used to call. Well, great, Phil. This is Vernon Dozier in
Great, Phil. This is Vernon Dozier in Volgograd. And this is a place they used to call the, I don't know what the hell they called it.
Well, they used to call this place Stalingrad. That was it.
Oh, yeah, that was the Stalingrad.
That's right. This was the Stalingrad, and now it's not, it ain't shit. There's a game here. I'm in a phone booth. Right now, I feel I'm right now, Phil, I'm sitting here.
I'm out in front of the,
well, right now, Phil, I'm out in front of the hotel here in Volgograd. And it's called Volgograd. They used to call it Stalingrad. But anyway, it was an interesting day today. There was a tie. Testing 1-2.
Ay. What a fucking load. Are you really in Volgograd?
No, I'm not. I'm holding the phone to my throat.
You're doing what?
I'm holding the goddamn...
He's holding the phone to his throat.
I'm holding the phone to my throat to make it sound like I'm long distance.
Would you knock that off, please?
I was told to do that by Dickman.
Well, we want it to sound long distance. Why?
I was told to do that by Dickman. I realize it probably is defrauding the listener, but it got to be very difficult to do that, Phil. Thank you for allowing me not to do it no more. I mean, thank you for allowing me not to do it anymore, you know, because it was very frustrating. This is Vernon Dozier here, and I just want to say that I'm grateful to Phil Hendry for all he's done.
Thank you, and I have done quite a bit for you, haven't I?
Yeah, you have.
All right. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. they have a cooking segment now on the what is this? They were showing a cooking segment on the Socal, Tunisia, England. What the fuck is this? Oh God, what a block! Whoa. Oh no, he scored. That's Kane. He had two goals. And I said, what did he see? The second goal. Here's a penalty kick. Tunisia scored on this. First, there was a penalty. Oh, they're not going to show you any of this. There's the penalty right there. He elbowed him. That's Jordan Pickford. Is that the guy's name? Plays Everton. And then, what? 44 minutes. Oh, my God. It hit the post. That's right. How did this not go in? Bang. Hits the post. Here's the goal. And watch how open this guy Kane is. I mean, come on.
Now, what song? I was at the Rutgers Clam Hanger. This was a sellout, and I did the standards. I did She's Come Undone. She's come undone. She flipped her lid. Do-do-do. You know, and that's what she couldn't do, right? And then I followed that up with, I want it that, tell me why. I want it that away. And,
You want what?
I don't want anything. It's the name of the song, General.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then I followed it up with a very lovely song called, Who Let the Dogs Out? Who let the dogs out? Woof, woof, woof.
You need to score. Tell me, Harry Kane.
So proud of the match, you know. It was tough. I thought we played really well, especially first half. Deserved to be ahead. Could have scored a few more. And then, obviously, I'm not seeing a penny in the back, but from my point of view, doing it that way. But credit to the lads. We get going. That's what these games are about. It's the World Cup. You're going to the last second. We spoke a lot about togetherness. And we've got a great bond off the pitch, so it's nice to also get the first game and see it on the pitch as well, see it working. And yeah, everyone, staff included, we're all delighted and we're going to get on that plane happy tonight.
Whatever he said there is
absolutely brilliant. And Kelly, go ahead.
I'm full of smiles tonight. I'm really happy with that performance. I think England started the game so well. First 20 minutes, they were at the races on the front foot. And they could have scored a couple of goals if it wasn't for Harry Kane in the end. But do you know what? I was thinking as the game's going on, a draw would have been okay. But this man here, the talisman of England, we showed this in the highlights. It was a fantastic corner. And he just sniffs out where the ball's going to be. It's an instinct that you can't really teach. He just anticipates it. And then he knocks the ball into the back of the net with his head. He just knows where the ball's going to be. It takes practice, but you just can't teach that.
Takes practice. Stuff. To know where the ball's going to be.
He's the leader. He has that ability to do that. So,
yeah, whatever.
Fantastic performance, but still more to come. We're not going to get too excited about this.
Who's this dude? Clarence Seedorf, 11 goals. He was for Netherlands, played in the 4-time UEFA Champions League winner. Clarence Seedorf. And who's this nitwit? Tony Miola for USA. Who? See, this is an American network carrying this, so they got to have an American player in there. Not that that's terrible. I mean, the guy Kyle Martino's pretty good. Here's a guy here. Grant Wall. Wayne Rooney. Gordon Ramsay. They're showing people. David Cameron. That's Three Lions. Is that the pub they all drink at? Everybody's hashtagging Three Lions. Well, anyway. Bloody good. Was ruddy good, boy. Grant Wall, author of Masters of Modern Soccer. Oh, in other words, he ain't shit. In other words, he didn't do shit. Oh, I just saw Lukaku there for Belgium. What's this? Belgium and pan-fried? Pakistan? Pan-pican? Pangaroon? I don't know. Roberto Martino. Look at that. Roberto Martinez, I should say. Roberto Martinez. 2-0. Dembele. God, there's a whole lot of cats on the Belgium nationals that play in England. Play professionally in England, I should say. You know, Panama. That was who they beat, Panama. Oh, what are you going to do? These groups, Jesus Christ, it seems like they got like a power. Look at Belgium, England, then Tunisia and Panama. Well, what the fuck? You know, why did they group them like that? Because they figure they ought to group them like weaker teams so they can get out of the first round or something. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe that's not the way to do it. But no fucking. They got Belgium and England, two of the best teams, you know, in the world. And then you have Tunisia and Panama. Not a fucking prayer, man. But, like I said, Switzerland, well, Switzerland's the sixth, I think I've got this right. Switzerland is the sixth best team in the world ranked when they were showing the rankings yesterday. I was kind of surprised by that. Switzerland. Although, yeah, they got their fair share of cats playing professionally. In England and elsewhere. So Lukaku had two fucking goals in that game. Ugly.
England with a goal differential of what? But Belgium with a goal differential of three. And Panama, that's how they do it in breaking ties in soccer, or as you say, soccer, as we call football. They break the tie by what's called a goal differential. Goal differential on Thursdays. A goal differential.
Yes, I'm keeping an eye on the clock, so don't worry about it, guys. You think I'm just fucking around here. I'm trying to think of a song Margaret can sing tonight on the show.
Again, thank you very much, Rutgers Clam Hanger. What are you looking at?
Well, I think you deserve a classier place. Margaret, I was about to say that. I think you do, too.
Well, what do you try to tell me? Rutgers Clam Hanger is some kind of a dive? It is, but how would you know that?
Because I've been drinking there before. And I actually got a tattoo down the street.
You're lying through your teeth.
That's true, I am. But, well, Phil was giving it a shot. I was giving it a shot just to see if anybody would buy it, and that way they could pressure you with mail and phone calls. All right, so, Margaret.
And I did Lucky Man last year, as you know, Phil. I did that at the Clam Shack. What a Rutgers
Crawfish Hanger. It should be Rutgers Oyster Hanger. Clam, Oyster, Periwinkle. Periwinkles. Rutgers Muscle Hanger. What are those? Scallops.
Rutgers Scallop Hanger.
The fuck? I always loved the whole idea of the restaurant naming itself after its primary specialty, you know, Joe's Crab Shack, which they have one out here. I don't know if anybody in Miami gives a shit, but Joe's Crab Shack is in Miami. The original is in Miami, on Miami Beach or South Beach.
I
went there one night. In fact, there's a photograph that was sent to me from Miami by one of my listeners, and he's a young, dark-haired guy, and we're standing there in this shot. I think a lot of you guys have seen it. I don't know where it is. That's a Joe's Crab Shack, I'm pretty sure. Well, anyway, that's the original, and I just saw where they opened one up out here, and I think it's like the same chain or whatever. It's not really a chain place, but I don't know. I ain't that nuts about crab, or I would probably live there. I just don't give a fuck about crab. Shellfish, I'm not really. Oysters, I got a weakness for. I know it sounds disgusting. A lot of people don't like them.
Ew, it's like eating snot.
No, it isn't. Because I've eaten snot. And no, I'm just saying that, yeah, to each his own. And I can eat oysters. I can eat oysters, but I cannot. But I will not let you watch my television set. You can fuck my wife if she lets you, if she wants you to. You can lay around my postmodern bullshit house. But you will not. But you will not watch my TV set. I love that. And then he kicks it out of the fucking car. Kicks it right into the street. Beautiful. Beautiful thing. Dude, what movie is this from? You know, do that. You can fuck my wife, lay around in my postmodern bullshit house, but you will not watch my TV set. Watch my TV. I'm trying to think here of come on, bitch. All right, Vernon, how are you, buddy?
Phil, I've been in Dozier in Novigrad.
What is the name of that fucking town they're in? Volvograd, right? It's named after the river. World Cup. No. It is called Volgograd. It's the fucking river, Henry, you dumb shit. It's the former Stalingrad, in memory of Soviet war dead, in a moving ceremony in central Volgograd. That was the Stalingrad Battle of World War II was hell on earth. It was just to hear it described by people that survived it, God, and who knows how they did that, the soldiers as well as the civilians, it was hell on earth. The city was basically in rubble. There were fires everywhere. It got so fucking hot that the stray dogs, of which there were many because their owners, their humans, were either dead or had run off, the dogs would hide in the rubble during the day and then at night make their way to the river and swim. And who knows how far they got. The river, the Volga River was there. The Volga River was there. And on the other side was the bank toward the interior of Russia. And the Stalingrad side of the river faced Europe and the onslaught of the, you know, German tanks and all this good shit. The whole thing was a fucking clusterfuck. The whole goddamn battle for Stalingrad was bullshit. I wonder if I had to talk about it on the show. But it should never have happened, really, because Hitler had sent his army to the southeast to capture the oil fields in that southern part of Russia, near the Black Sea, I believe, Caspians, I forget which, but I'm not a, geographically in terms of that part of the war, that part of the geography of World War II, I'm not clear on, but the Germans sent a force, and they should have been in force to take those, and forget about goddamn Stalingrad for 5 goddamn minutes, because the Russians would have pulled back to defend. They're not about to send anybody, unless to cut the Germans off, and Hitler should have known, you know, this was an area where they could have been cut off by Russian forces. The whole Russian front was, what, 6,000 miles long? Something like that? North to south? It was ridiculous. It was fucking ridiculous. It was absolutely that. This is why people who say Hitler was a genius, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. He was a fucking idiot when it came to the tactics and operations and the, you know, the strategy of war. He was a fucking moron. One area where Hitler was smart was in equipment. And when I say smart in equipment, he knew about tanks. In other words, he knew about the early 20th century needs of an army. But by World War II, when air power became indispensable, he didn't know shit about air power. He didn't know shit about aircraft, and he didn't give a shit. He thought he knew best. Who else does that remind you of? And this is why we keep on talking about this, man. Who else does it remind you of? So Hitler didn't think he needed advice. He didn't take advice. He held forth at dinner for whoever the invited guests were for hours. It was interminable. For some people who survived those dinner speeches and harangues of Hitler's, they said it was, you know, they had to make excuses. I got to go home. I got a sick kid, whatever. They just had to get their ass out of there because they couldn't sit and listen to this asshole. And I wonder, I got money that says dinner time at the White House is the same fucking way. I mean, if you get invited guests with Melania and everybody, probably not. So anyway, this dumbass Hitler, now he's split his forces. He's got these guys going south, and he still sent General Paulus hurtling east with the 6th Army to take Stalingrad. Okay? This was Hitler's big plan. Oh, yeah, we can reduce Stalingrad with the 6th Army. So that's, I don't know how many, 300,000 men. It's a big fucking army. But you're taking a city, and a city is like a fortress before it becomes a fucking fortress. It's nooks and crannies and streets and alleys and basements and ceilings and towers and its factories, its office buildings, its every goddamn thing. And not only that, you need to have an experienced army. Guys that have fought in that situation before. People who know, you know, what they're doing. So anyway, long story short, the 6th Army was wiped out. It was wiped the fuck out. This was the same 6th Army that had marched triumphantly into Paris in 1940. Gone. They surrendered. The remnants of the 6th Army. How many surrendered? 90 to 100,000? Surrendered to the Russians, to the Soviets. Only 5,000 returned to Germany after the war ended. The rest killed, died, maybe some deserted, maybe some went over to the other side. Paulus did. Paulus started making propaganda broadcasts for the Russians. The German general that was captured, he began making, you know, speeches. And I don't know when he died. I believe he died in the 50s there in the Soviet Union. But only 5,000 returned. 6th Army basically got cut off, and they were in what they called a kettle. Around them were Russians, and the Germans were fucked up the ass. Even though Hitler still held out hope, Goering told him he could airdrop supplies. No problem. Fatso Goering, no, he wasn't able to get in near enough. Most of the German aircraft was getting shot out of the fucking sky. What was this asshole thinking, right? You're going to try to fly supply aircraft over Russian lines into the middle of this, you know, cauldron, this kettle, as they called it. It was a nightmare. As some of the planes would drop off the supplies and try to take off, there'd be Germans running out of the forest, grabbing a hold of the doors or whatever the fuck they could, you know, landing gear and trying to crawl into the aircraft. It was pretty sad. So that was that, you know. And Hitler expected Paulus to commit suicide, never to surrender. You know, that was Hitler's standing field order. Nobody, hardly anybody even obeyed it. There's a certain kind of personality, folks, that doesn't want to lose. He, even so far as getting advice, he considers that an insult. Even so far as getting advice, he'll take advice, or he'll appear to take advice, just to look like a good guy. He didn't take any fucking advice unless he really, really needs it. And even then, make it sound like it's his own idea. But to lose anything is such an abject humiliation, they would rather fucking die in the cause. That's why people worry about this prick we got for a president, because that's his mindset. That is insane. And that will drag this country into God knows what. Sorry, you may not think I know what I'm talking about because I'm just a funny man. You know, I do comedy and blah, blah, blah. I think that makes some people feel better. They say, well, Phil may be funny, but he didn't know shit about the real important stuff in life. Well, and then it turns out that I do. And because I'll debate this. I could debate this with anybody. Just so happens to be an area that I studied, something that I studied. And I mean, not any. Obviously, there's some scholars out there that kick my fucking ass. But the average person doesn't know shit. Oh, my God. Listen to that, will you? What is that, man? Is that the TriCaster? That's the loudest motherfucker I've ever heard in my life. So today on the Phil Hendry Show, we'll do something that we haven't done in a long time, which is a Phil only. Inspired by me watching the World Cup, and specifically watching the World Cup being played in a city called Volgograd. And Volgograd used to be called Stalingrad. And Stalingrad is one of the iconic battles, or the site of one of the iconic battles in all of World War II. And it's also kind of important to take note of Stalingrad because I hate to say this, but there's an awful lot that the current president of the United States has in common with Adolf Hitler. I'm just kidding. All right, man, you ready? What are we doing here? What are we doing here? And I better turn this down. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Testing. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The reason I've got to do this, because it's a noisy fucking room, man. It is a noisy goddamn room. All right, here we go. I got to move all this equipment out of here. And, you know, that's something to think about with Adam. We got to.
I got this, man. Don't worry about it. I got it.
Shit. Margaret needs the karaoke of some song to sing tonight. What about the two? What is this thing called love? This cuckoo thing called love. What? What if Margaret sings Love Shack?
Oh, what a night. Yeah. Oh, what a night. Yeah. The roof is on fire. Yeah.
If you see a faded sign, the Love Shack.
I don't think so. All right, Steve. Oh, you gotta do this one.
Don't let. I love this song, Phil. I've always wanted to do this. Will you be staying after Sunday?
Wait.
I've always loved this. I'm walking on sunshine.
Holy Christ.
Would you tell it not to say anything?
Bud, shut up, will you?
What? It's such a suck-ass song, man.
Hey, why do you say it's suck-ass, son? Oh, Jesus.
And I just can't wait till the day when you knock on my door.
You and I in a little toy shop. Buy a bag of balloons with the money we've got.
Get out of here, will you? God, this stuff makes me feel so bad. Pop Goes the World. With Margaret Does Cars by Gary Newman.
I like this because it's contemporary. I always like to work something in. And you can see I wear a gown in cars. Here in my car.
There were complaints. Margaret did this at the scallop hangar, and they complained viciously.
My car.
Shut up. A stupid song, and I hated the whole fucking band. Fuck all of them. Gary, I'm just kidding around. Gary, if you're watching, which you're not, but just in case, just in the outside chance you were great. Now then, Sniffing the Tears, Driver's Seat. Who remembers that one? No one? I do. Jesus, there's a lot of good shit here. Just What I Needed by The Cars. That's the Way I Like It. Now, Cars by Gary Newman is fucking great. Oh, Gary Newman. That's right.
Yeah. All right. I did this the other night at the scallop hangar, and rude. The audience was very rude. You know, that's the last time that I try to bring something different to a bunch of slobs.
Well, Margaret.
Well, it's no well, Margaret, anything. Here, then, is my rendition of Cars. Here in my car, I feel safest of all. I can lock all my doors and keep all of the creeps out in cars.
Margaret, those aren't the words.
I improvise. Here in my car, I can only receive. I can listen to you, but you can't listen to me in cars.
The line says it keeps me stable.
I don't want to sing that line. God damn it.
Bitchin'. All right, we've got it. We finally got it. We finally got it. Now, I got to find something else, man. I got to find the... Oh, God. Got to find my goddamn mail. Because I got to find the thing. You know, man, I need the thing, man. Where's my guy? There it is, Sammy. Okay, that's fine. Where's the rest of it, man? What is this? I wish this shit wasn't left open. I don't like it, man.
Here in my car, I feel safest of all. And a do-do-do-do in cars.
Piss off. Goodbye. Thank you.
Is this it?
Oh, no, it's the thing. Okay. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have no idea if this is going to, what this show is going to sound like. This room is so fucking noisy, I had to crank on the gate, and I really had to crank it over, too, so I don't know. If you like this podcast, you should check out Real GM Radio. Danny LaRue, the basketball expert, sports writer, and podcaster, has a show right here on Podcast One Sportsnet, where he breaks down all the things NBA with some of the NBA's best thought leaders. God, I almost got through this fucking thing without reading it beforehand. Best thought leaders. If you like this podcast, I know you are going to like